Welcome to Alive and Active Life, broadcasting encouragement to live your daily life with God's help and inspiration to reach for more of God by faith. Join Brenda Wolf for today's practical insights.
Remember Downton Abbey, the television series and movies? If you watched this excellent period drama, I'm sure you'll remember frequent times the Dowager Countess and Cousin Isabel are completely indignant toward one another. Their continual sparring is a unique dimension of their very unusual friendship. So what exactly is indignant? Let's look at what it means and who uses it. Indignant is an interesting word with a dramatic meaning. Some dictionary meanings are expressing strong displeasure at something considered unjust, feeling something is offensive, responding as if insulted. Incidentally, did you know indignant is referenced in the scripture story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead? It appears in a footnote from John chapter 11, verse 33b. Let's look at the story of Lazarus. Jesus loves Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. Often he spends time in their home, fellowshipping with them. In fact, he considers them his friends. You know the story. Lazarus gets sick. The sisters send word to Jesus to come heal him. Yet what does Jesus do? Strategically, he lingers where he's at on purpose for a couple more days. An interesting response to a cry for urgent help, don't you think? By the time Jesus sets out for Lazarus's house, he's already dead. Matter of fact, he's been in the tomb for 4 days, and the sisters are very upset. In fact, you get the hunch they might feel somewhat indignant about how Jesus responds to their urgent cry for help. Subsequently, they are consumed in sorrowful loss. However, this is not where the word indignant is actually used. Jesus is indignant. In fact, the footnote says, deeply indignant. Upon arrival, Jesus sees weeping, sorrow, and absolute brokenness. Noticeably, his three friends and their companions suffer under the grief process. Scripture says, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. John 11:33, and that's the verse with the footnote. Later at the tomb, Scripture says again, he is deeply moved. It's time to reference the footnote. Incidentally, the word indignant in the footnote is a replace option for the word moved. In essence, Jesus is indignant about Lazarus's death. So what does this mean? Jesus is face to face with the injustice, offensiveness, insult, and permanent effects of sin and death on his beloved children. In fact, he's moved by the wrenching grief humanity is shackled to. Consequently, the loss of a dear friend, Lazarus, to death, moves Jesus to indignation. Let's plug the definitions for indignant into this scenario. Jesus expresses strong displeasure at something unjust, the suffering. He feels something offensive, death. Further, he responds as if insulted, an attack against the Creator and his original design, as well as against his children. Think about this. Wouldn't you feel displeasure if something unjust happened to your children? Certainly you'd feel offensive if some great threat came against your community. Further, you'd likely be insulted if an attack rose up against your life, your family, or your country. Imagine yourself in this place. Jesus responds as a man. Plus, he responds as God does. He is God and man. Moved. Indignant. Incidentally, this is one of the most unique responses from Jesus. Remarkably, Jesus experiences indignation, at least according to the footnote. It seems odd to note, yet understandable. I'm curious. Have you ever considered Jesus to be indignant? Interestingly, his response shows how strongly he's upset at the plight of his children, his friends. After all, he came to earth to correct circumstances that take advantage of his children, circumstances that make him feel indignant. Jesus intervenes for his friends. He says, "Lazarus, come out." John 11:43. Lovingly, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Decisively, he overcomes one of the most devastating forces that rises against his beloved friends, death. It's a stunning statement of how much God detests the dismal reality of sin and death that has his precious children locked into. Yes, he's indignant. Interestingly, this story is quite literally a statement from God's own heart about the sorrow of humanity. As Jesus presses forward to finish his assigned task from God, he immerses himself into human suffering. After all, it's his responsibility to carry out a culminating long-term provision for all eternity and for all people at the cross. Yes, Jesus is indignant. So indignant, he allows himself to be nailed to a tree. Jesus is moved by your sufferings and losses every day. He cares. Equally, he's indignant at how this broken life has affected your life. Well, what does this all mean? First of all, this miracle is an Easter egg. You know, an Easter egg is a peek into what comes next. Raising Lazarus is a precursor to whet your appetite for what's coming. Jesus, man of sorrow, takes on the sorrow, grief, condemnation, the sin and brokenness of your sufferings to lift the permanent sting away. And then he pushes forward with a steeled resolve to the cross to raise up any person who believes on him. People face the reality of sin and death continually. However, when Jesus returns to earth again, this will change forever. Meanwhile, Christ's work on the cross gives freedom from bondage, hope in grief, and wholeness instead of brokenness. Subsequently, this freedom filters into everyday details. So now you can have power over debilitating patterns of stress and worry. You can have eliminated fear and insecurity, set aside arrogance, self-centeredness, and self-directed agendas. Can let go of the need to understand, see, or contemplate before simply trusting God. You can overcome laziness and procrastination that pushes positive results away. You can exercise courage to crush unhealthy habits from taking hold, and have power to forgive and overcome anger, to draw close to the living God with intimate relationship, to live in peace and joy no matter what your circumstances. You can cry out to God for intervention, provision, comfort, and companionship, and so much more. All of that because of what Jesus did. So this miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead represents two things. First of all, resurrection sets all people free forever if they believe on Jesus and obey him. And second of all, success in everyday issues if you trust and obey Jesus. Of course, to live inside this miracle means you must do something first. Surrender your life to God's excellent agenda in every daily detail. Well, there's more treasure in this story. Jesus responds in additional interesting ways in the story. In fact, it's packed with unique, fresh perspective that provides connection to God and teaching points on how to live. Consider the creative strategy Jesus uses to address people's sorrows, losses, and brokenness. Also consider these scriptures from the same story. The first one, Jesus wept, from verse 35. Jesus weeps over your sufferings. Second one, take away the stone, verse 39a. God has authority over whatever blocks your success and keeps you trapped. Next one, did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? Verse 40. He wants you to believe and experience His glory. Next one. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Verse 41b. Jesus invites you to follow His example. Declare, you know the Father hears your cries and petitions. Simply trust Him. The next one. He cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Verse 43b. Powerfully, Jesus commands death to comply to His authority. Additionally, He gives you authority to triumph over things that pull you into the grave of inaction. And then the final one we're going to look at, Jesus says, unbind him and let him go. Verse 44c. Remarkably, His command is to set you free. It's noteworthy that living in God's glory does not happen before you engage faith. In fact, it's more like this. Trust first, then grow in understanding. Well, you know, we need to keep things in order, and perspective matters. Adopt God's perspective to keep things in order. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me, from John 14, verse 15. Interestingly, you prove you love God by simply obeying Him, even before you understand or make sense of things. Rather than trying to figure things out, trust God. Obey Him. Reverence Him. Worship Him. Why not keep things in order and put your confidence in Jesus, the one who satisfies His indignation against evil? He out-strategized the enemy and demolished the power of sin and death that cheats His friends. Yes, Jesus is indignant. Here are some application thoughts and questions for you. Number one, did you know Jesus feels indignant about your suffering? Two, do you believe He will raise you up like Lazarus? Three, what keeps you from trusting God first before you get all the pieces you want to know? Four, consequently, how will you address any lack of faith first? Five, God truly cares about your situation, your sufferings, and your very life. Why not turn to Him with abandon and simply give yourself to His purpose for your life? Remember, Jesus is indignant on your behalf. Number six, what perspectives do you need to change about God in order to have a healthy relationship with Him? And number seven, is there anything you need to be indignant about? Something around you? Will you handle your indignation with strength, grace, mercy, and problem solving like Jesus does? I invite you to follow us on your favorite social media. Do sign up on our email list to receive weekly articles. Plus, tune in to our weekly podcast using your preferred podcast app. Or you can use our online player at the top of each article. visit our website for resources to get into God's Word and live an alive and active life.
You've been listening to Brenda Wolf with Alive and Active Life. Visit our website at www.aliveandactivelife.org, your web-based home for resources, including books and ebooks, libraries of articles, podcasts, and more, as you navigate life's challenges and issues. Sign up on our email list and subscribe to our podcast to stay current with the tools you need to be the person God designed, living an alive and active life.